Welcome to the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast with your co-hosts Teague Fenwick and Steve Lurkwood.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast. I'm your host, Teague Fenwick, coming to you from Holman. Joining me, as always, from Fort Atkinson, is my co-host, Steve Lurkwin. Steve, great to be here.
Hey, pumped to be here, Teague. A new season, man.
Excited it is for, a new season. I was thinking about that. Yeah, when I post episodes, it's season five for us.
Season five. First episode, first guest of our new season.
We, you know, I put the six names in a hat that we were going to go with to start off the new season, pulled this guy out, and we're like, hey, let's run with it. But we, now that's, he was the first one to come to mind right away, because it's always fun to pick his brain, and I appreciate him for hiding. He has that nice little Luxembourg team state title background, and he has the 2013 team title covered up with his head. So I do appreciate that as a Mauston alum. So we'll introduce our guest right away, and I do want to do a little small talk real quick about other things, but this is his third time on the show, I believe. So, Coach, maybe more than being a repeat champion, three times on the Wisconsin Wrestler Podcast. Do you feel like a celebrity now? Talking about Chaz Tremel.
I definitely feel like a celebrity being able to come on this show, for sure.
Well, hey, Chaz, we're excited to have you on. And real quick before we jump into a Luxembourg Casco talk here. Steve, we had our bye week, and every year, the Monday after a team state, I feel like a bye week is a must. And maybe it's still a good thing. But then during that week, D2, D3 Nationals is happening, and there's still wrestling going on. And man, it's almost like I still have the itch to want to go live. And I don't even if I have nothing to talk about, I just want to go on and hang out with people. And, the bye week was nice. But Steve, I was thinking maybe for an idea next year, do we get Shane Kennelly on for our bye week and do a little D2, D3 preview?
That'd be good. Really wouldn't be a bye week, but then it would be fantastic. And you know, if we got Shane on, you and I wouldn't have to do a lot of talking or thinking.
He could carry the load in that one. Yes.
He could definitely carry it.
It's been fun keeping track of D2, D3. It was cool seeing a Stricker win his title. I went to the finals, of course, because they were right in lacrosse. Stricker won his title. I think it was Eau Claire's second champion. Hurdle won his second title. So that was fun stuff. I've been busy doing track things as well. And let me tell you guys what, I really miss the coaching life. Wow. I was a little nervous going into it, and then by day two or three, I just was 100% bought in, and now you got some inside jokes with the kids. You figure out, like, the kids. There's the kids that want to get better and ask you about things, and it's just, wow, it's just really gratifying. And we're only 11 practices / meets into the year, so I'm really glad I got back into the coaching game.
Yeah, Chaz, Teague's coaching pole vault. And Teague, you didn't respond. I sent you that little clipping from So wait, Chaz, here you go. First up, trivia question. Name a four-time state champ, and there might be multiple, but name a four-time state champ that was also a state medalist in pole vaulting.
Four-time state champ plus pole vaulting?
So probably a guy with like a good upper body build, if that narrows anything down.
Very light from the 1990s.
Underwood?
Oh, that'd be a good guess. No, it was the first one.
Panuki.
Panuki, yeah. I was reffing the middle school conference tournament at Marshall, and the head coach that does basketball, he had a clipping. He must have got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and Panuki got inducted at the same time, and I sent Teague a little clipping because he's a big pole vaulter guy. And I'm like, hey, Teague, look at this. You know, Panuki was also a state medalist in pole vault.
I didn't know that. I had him at he was our camp counselor when I was at wrestling camp at Madison. Biggest thing I remember him from is taking some money off of us playing cards during camp. So that was great.
Yeah. Did he sandbag you a little bit?
No, I didn't put a lot of money in there. So maybe he did.
I bet he's got a good poker face.
Yeah. A lot of those camp counselors, I think, did early on. So.
Oh, yeah. I never told you this, Steve, but part of my bye week is I actually just block your number for a week because I know I'm going to want to talk wrestling. So I
I thought you did because you didn't respond back. I sent you a couple things. Then I start swearing at you, and I'm like, oh, he must really be mad at me.
I responded back to something. Oh man. I didn't respond to you until this week.
That's all right.
And here's the thing. Honestly, I did have the best intentions to respond, but I am honestly perpetually bad at texting back. I just happened to lock in during sectional preview and actual wrestling season. So I play a really good trade that I'm a reliable responder. So I did appreciate you sending me that, though, Steve. I thought of you, too, over the bye week as well.
I was thinking of you.
Well, before we get in, Foley here. Gear, well, I know what Steve's gear is, but going into my state gear, I think, Steve, you were rocking this for the team state recap. But
I did, yep.
Got my Muskego wrestling gear from Sean Fortman. We're still waiting. So, Amanda, if you're listening, I know you're the point person for Muskego Girls Wrestling. Still waiting for the Muskego girl shirts to get delivered, but these are pretty slick. And Steve, you're right. The fabric's really nice on this too. I don't know the exact fabric, but I want more of these shirts for sure.
Yep. Yeah. And I went, I brought multiple shirts cause I didn't want to be that guy. And I didn't know, I already wore this shirt, but I figured we got him on the show. So I had to wear it. And I told you this, coach, this has to be as far as design and then fit. It's one of my favorites. I'm telling you, I got five that are kind of my go-to that I wear a lot as when I say undershirts, like under, you know, like under sweatshirts and stuff. So when I take off, there they are. But yeah, this is my, I went with the old LC Spartans shirt, kind of doing a little sucking up.
I got the same one on.
Perfect.
Perfect.
How many times do we have to have you on? When do we unlock the quarter zip that you have there?
Cool. Well, this one's a brand new one. I'll stand up so you can see. So this is the other way. So this is a brand new youth one that all our coaches are going to be wearing down at Youth State this weekend. So it's pretty cool. We just got this one last week from Sports World. So Die Sport and got a big Spartan on the back. I don't know if you can see that, but we just put the slogan on there that said titles. This is where titles kind of begin, is with our youth. So pretty cool. We got 29 kids going this weekend. So one of the largest, I think, contingents. So should be pretty busy down there.
Wow. And that's just through the school youth program too.
Yep. That's all our, whatever it starts at, like kind of second grade up through eighth grade. So 29 of them.
Gonna be a busy weekend for the LC coaches, which just seems to be a pattern throughout every postseason. What are we gonna get into? Well, let's talk some high school talk here. So, Chaz, of course, we have you on. For the folks, if you're new to the show, we do our series every year to start our new seasons in the spring, where we have our team state champion coaches on, and then we have our four timers on. So. Yeah, this is first part of the series, first part of the season, as Steve talked about. And Chaz, two years in a row, we got you on. And of course, we always like to ask the question, when did you and your team realize that you could win team state? But with you guys returning double digit starters and whatnot, I'm assuming that seed may have been planted immediately after the conclusion of team state in 2023. So I just got to ask you, and we got a chance to ask Machik and Stelt last year. The thing with high school kids sometimes, or I think in any program at any level, like even all the way to the pros, it's always harder to win that second title in a row. And I don't necessarily know what it is. I don't know if it's championship fatigue or you're wrestling further into the year. But did you sense any of that with your guys in the off season at all? And, or if so, how do you as a coach, what do you do to help weather that?
Oh, that's a loaded question, Teague. There's lots in there. we'll go back to the first one.
It's more of, how do you keep your guys from getting complacent, right? I mean, that's probably the easiest way to ask it.
I think last year after we won, like you said, first of all, we knew we had a lot of guys coming back. So It's been quite a while since we've gone back to back. I think last time was 2012-13. So, I mean, you're talking 10 years already. So for them, I think one of the things that I think kept those guys hungry and the coaching staff and the parents and our whole program hungry is to try and repeat. I haven't done it in a long time. So yeah, we have a lot of people coming back, but that motivation was there right away. First, they're hungry to get the first championship because can't have a repeat without having the first one. So we got that down and then move on to our next goal. And not only win team state again, but try and continue improving our placings and get more guys down at individual state. And those things are going to, you know, improve on our individual goals. And that's going to help our overall goal of being team state champs along the way as well.
Steve, trivia for you. Uh-oh. When was the last time that Luxembourg Casco repeated as team state champions?
Teague, I have a feeling this is going to involve 2013. So I'm going to say 12-13 or 13-14. Let's go with 12-13.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yes. A little bit more. Twist the knife a little bit. Salt in the wounds, baby.
I set myself up for that one.
You did.
Threw the softball up to you and you knocked it out of the parks. But, well, Chaz, hey, that's good to hear. I mean, you guys, obviously, you came into the season and it's really impressive looking at the first weekend of the LC Spartan Duels. I mean, six-team dual tournament. You think starting off small, but then you look at the teams there and and you guys start off with a banger right away to start the year. Is that kind of by design? Do you like to throw the guys into the fire right away? Or is it because it's a more veteran team this year?
I think it was just more or less how our schedule fell. Mm-hmm. Our Spartan Duels, I think all our teams kind of grew about the same time. So we went from young teams to a little bit more advanced teams, and then some other teams jump in. So all of a sudden we have, I mean, Bayport's been continually tough. Wisconsin Rapids has been young and we knew they're up and coming and they had asked to come in last year. So we knew they had a lot of their guys coming back. So, and then you have some really good individuals on Port Washington's team and Sheboygan Falls and Sean also. It's just the right mix of teams that are, make everything very competitive throughout that day. And, I guess we're kind of lucky that we're all able to push each other as teams. And we know it's early. I think all the coaches, when we look at that, we're just looking for good competition. We understand that, yeah, it'd be great to win, but overall, the end of the season's where we want to make sure we're peaking, and that kind of just starts out our season on a pretty tough note. So,
hey, you guys did end up going 5-0, and you had five really good duels. How were you feeling after that first weekend of competition?
I guess a little relieved, because even having this majority of these guys back, we have other people that are in the lineup. They're all in, most of them are in different weight classes, so you don't know how they're going to react. We also were coming, a lot of those guys were coming off of state runner-up at football. So that was something brand new for us to kind of gradually get those guys in the lineup at the time, because typically they're out of the playoffs maybe a little bit earlier. So to have that, make sure they're ready and able to come back out for the team at that time and they're not pressing, because again, try and make sure we're doing the right thing for the kid. Don't push them into the wrestling matches too fast so that all of a sudden they're getting hurt or they have fatigue from, you know, coming off this big high of being in the state championship football game. Now they're starting all the way over and expectations are that we want them to do well, but you got to start back over from the beginning with wrestling. So you've got to start from the bottom, work back up. So that's probably the biggest thing at that point. Looking back on it, came through pretty well injury-free. That's the other thing, and seeing how people are adjusting. And I guess that's really the big thing with that tournament that we came away with, that we had some really good competition, knocked some rust off, come out injury-free.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the football title because that, yeah, that turnaround, it literally runs into wrestling season. So yeah,
correct.
I'd say you guys knocked the rust off in a big way. And we're going to run through the regular season and the schedule. And you guys place first at Battle on the Bay with 520 points. Bayport is second with a 438. Real quick, before I ask you about the next tournament, I see on the docket this year, and we got to see someone place pretty high on the podium at Bi-State, but you guys got a couple of girl wrestlers this year, and apologies if I forgot if there were any on the program last year, but was that something that you as a program or like was pushing for, or was there a couple of girls that just came up and said, hey, is there a way that I could wrestle this year?
Both the girls, Evelyn Ling and Kylie Georgell, they both have been for quite a while. So they're not newbies by any means. They put a lot of time and effort in, and a lot of it's on their own because they are the only two girls, and they're completely different weight classes. So they wrestle together a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's been, for the most part, they've had to do a lot on their own outside of in the off season, and they have put a lot of time in. So kudos to those two because it's not easy. I know it's not easy for them, and they love the sport. You can see that, and they put a lot of time and effort in it, and they continue to reap the rewards that for all their time and effort. So, yeah, they got to take part in quite a few more tournaments this year, which was great to see. Knowing that there are that many more girl tournaments out there, this year compared to last season, that kind of helped set them up a little bit better, as well as we're trying to get acclimated to it as well. So hopefully we get a couple more girls out and start getting some traction for building a program here at Luxembourg.
Yeah, I got to say, and maybe it's different for folks from the Northeast sector, but for me anyways, Kylie's breakout party was definitely at Bi-State. Where, I mean, she had an awesome tournament. Steve and I were pretty impressed by her on the first night, so that was cool to see. And the fact that they're both sophomores, we're going to see their names a lot more throughout these next couple of years as well. So that's good stuff there, Coach. We got to ask you, because you and Fenimore made the trip down to Missouri, and I'm pretty sure this is a new one on the docket this year, but the KC Stampede, how do you get into this tournament? Do you ask? Are you invited? Because once you look at the results, you realize that this tournament is no slouch by any means, to put it very lightly.
Yeah, so this is having some good coaches on my staff. Looking around, we kind of were aware that last year already, that Minnesota Christmas tournament, that would have been the same weekend. With Minnesota dropping down to 13 weight classes, we kind of started looking around for some other options. And Coach Joel Kuhl, on my staff, when he was helping out at another school, he had actually reached out to them years ago, and he kept their contact. So he reached out to them, and turned out that the person that was kind of being the administrator happened to be friends with a former Luxembourg wrestler that went to Missouri, Matt Pell. So that connection helped out a little bit. And then I think he ended up running into Ben Askren as well and asking if we were a legit team or not. And Ben gave us a thumbs up. And next thing you know, we got the okay to go and made sure our school was okay with that. And everybody on the wrestling team and parents were good to go with it. Let's make this new trip, and we went with it. So,
yeah, this tournament, just for reference, everybody, there's a second. It's called the Hard Luck Tournament. And how does that work? Is it if you lose two matches, like right away, or how do people fall into the Hard Luck Tournament, quote unquote?
Basically, if you don't make it to the second day on the championship side. So if you were knocked out of the regular tournament that first day, then you would go into the Hard Luck Tournament. And that's if you want to. That's totally up to the wrestler and the coach if they want. So,
yeah, and usually you'll see, like, the Minnesota Christmas Tournament, they run the scramble style where everyone gets four or five matches, and you see more tournaments doing that now. But I have a feeling the hard luck tournament is not like most tournaments, where if you go 0-2 barbecue, you're going to be going against a kid that's 1-10 or something along those lines, because it looks like, was Trace the only one that ended up making it today too, or is he just the only one that ended up placing? But I thought that most of the team ended up with the hard luck tournament, didn't they?
No, we had four place winners. Highest was Carson Newbert, and then I'm trying to think what he placed. I want to say fifth, maybe. I have to go back and take a look. Sure. But
yeah, these brackets are an adventure to go through. Yeah.
Yep. And then Caleb Delabrew, Max Ronsman, and Trace placed. So we had four placers there. There were also some guys that made it to the second day on the championship side, but then they had their second loss. I think their first or second match that next day, that second day. So then they were knocked out of the tournament. Then we had another group that didn't quite make it through the first day on the championship side. So then they went into the hard luck, and they got quite a few matches on that second tournament. So, and if you didn't know what was going on, if you don't know what it looks like, you guys, there was over 20 mats on the floor. and you're kind of just running. There's not a whole lot of bleachers. They only have bleachers around, I think, two of the main mats. And then on the outskirts, they have seats, chairs. But it's more like kind of a national, I would say more like if you're at like youth nationals or something like that, along those lines, where you have a ton of mats, you have space between the mats, and you are running, and you need to have the kids know what's going on, parents know what's going on, and where to direct us and where to send us, make sure we're on the mat side. So it was definitely a team effort in all sorts of ways, not just with the guys scoring and actually wrestling, but with parents and coaches all being on the same page and coordinating everything. So it was a really cool experience, though.
In terms of toughness, would you rank this as like a top five, top 10 tournament that you've been to in your time as a head coach with the Luxembourg program? Because it's just so hard to wrap my head around how much of a grinder this tournament was.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. And I mean, even over my coaching career, I mean, we've been to Ironman out in Ohio, so that was one of the best ones, obviously, in terms of overall toughness, right? Mm-hmm. Cheesehead, been to Dvorak, Minnesota Christmas Tournament. Yeah, this is definitely ranking way up there. So just the sheer level of kids from different states all over. And I think that was kind of the coolest thing, not just for me, but I know the kids talked about it, the parents talked about it in the community. Like, we're wrestling kids from different states that we typically really don't see. We're talking Kansas and Texas and some of the southern states, where we're used to wrestling a lot of the Midwest schools, even if we're in Minnesota or Illinois. This just brought a different flavor again, and it was a lot of fun competing, and I think the kids really enjoyed it. A lot different style of wrestling again, that always makes us better, so.
Right.
Well, and it's just a cool experience for high school kids too. I mean, anytime you're staying in a hotel with the squad, that's a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were lucky we had really good weather. That was the thing I think I was most worried about, traveling. I think it was 10 hours one way. So by bus. So we had a charter bus and things like that. It seemed to go really fast, both ways on the way down and on the way back. So that was the best thing. I was most worried about that weather, because we've had enough trips out to Minnesota where we're just getting pounded with snow, even with bi-state coming across the state. So at that time of year. So.
Yeah, I've been a part of many a bi-state where a snowstorm has hit at the perfect time. Chaz, just running through the rest of the regular season here. I won't dive too much into results, but I'll kind of let you take the floor if you want to talk about either highlights of the team or fun stories from the team throughout the rest of the year leading up to the postseason. There's just a lot that goes into a regular season, and you can even talk about any tough times for the team as well. Because one thing I noticed as I tried to follow team races a little more is every team has lulls throughout the year where it seems where they kind of have a funk, whether it be just one weekend or a couple of weekends. And it's all about every coach seems that the goal is to peak at the right time, right? So if you just kind of want to take us on the journey of your regular season, I think we left off at bye state, but Steve and I'll interject as needed.
Okay. I guess, scheduling purposes, when we go to Kansas City, and in the past couple of years, we've gone to Minnesota. Before that, it was Dvorak. So we knew that weekend's usually going to be a tough weekend. And just the way the calendar fell, usually we're having bye state that following week. So this year, though, we at least had a week off between Kansas City and bye state. So we're able to, coming off a big, tough tournament like that and going right into bye state, it's kind of like we talked about it early on, like those guys got to start all the way over and amp back up as that tournament goes, because it's going to be a grind. And one of the things that we try to remind those wrestlers of, that, a lot of these teams, when you look at the records, I mean, we've had a lot more matches than most of those kids that were in bye state at that point. So our kids are tested at pretty tough tournaments leading up to bye state already. So our records may not look the prettiest, but we know competition wise, they're going to hang in there with but we had, some injuries going into bye state, Jake Jandrin. So we're down one wrestler there. And then, that's when the injury bug starts to hit, get halfway through and hopefully you can make it through there. Then in the tournament, Max Ronsman goes down. So we had actually Carson Bohoyak got hurt. Michael Boswick got sick. So it was just kind of that point where, like, all right, we're ready for a little bit of a break here, but it was going to be 2 weeks yet. So we kind of finished off bye state, won the division. I think we took second or third overall. I think third overall. I think Aquinas was first, and Iowa Grant, and then I think it was us. So
it was Chad. Not that we like to talk good about Minnesota teams on this show, but Chatfield end up taking the bye state title.
Yep, that's right, Chatfield. Yep, and then Iowa Grant, I think it was, right?
Oh man, I just got off the tournament, but Chatfield was first, and then it was, I think, IGH, then Aquinas, then IGH. Yep.
Yep. So I know it was back and forth between all of us for a while, and then kind of got hit by the injury bug. And I mean, we still did really well, but there's always those points that we know we look back at and we're like, oh well. But it's not the purpose to, we want to win, but like you said, end game is where it's at. So
speaking sorry to interrupt you real quick, not totally wrestling related, but speaking on bye state still. It takes one person to start a major movement, Chaz, and you'll be pleased to know that one of your very own, Loudon Tank, was the first person to ever – bye state started doing dipping dots this year, and Loudon was the very first person to ever get me bye state dipping dots, which just that surprise in general was amazing. But then after that, the rest is history. I ended up having 12 cups of dipping dots, which – I hope I don't have to repeat that feat again. It's funny because I always talk to Loudon at every tournament after that. And I don't like to play favorites, but if I had to choose a favorite on the Luxembourg Casco squad, it might be Mr. Tank. Because that kid, he just seems like the guy that in a grind of a wrestling season, that's the perfect personality to have on a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Loudon's great. He's got a great sense of humor. He knows when to pull the right jokes, it seems like, and he's just a fun guy to be around. I think the kids all appreciate him and what he's done for our team all the time. So yeah, he'll wear that that as a badge of courage coming from you too, Teague. I know that.
he introduced himself to me. I'm the guy that wrestled Rhett Koenig into the second period. I'm like, oh, you're the, yeah, because I remember calling that. I was like, you know what? This kid's got to be feeling pretty pumped that he's going into period two with Rhett Koenig.
Yep, absolutely. let's see.
Yeah, sorry to get you off track there, but I had to bring that up.
yeah, and then like you said before, earlier, that Kylie placed out there. I think she took fourth. It was tough for her because she was sitting around all day for that girls' placement match. It was just kind of got into a lull. So it was, but that was a good learning experience for her, especially when it came down to the state tournament for her, because that's what it was. Those tournaments are going to be about. They're going to be a long time in between sitting around getting ready for it. So, so that ended up being a very good thing for her as well. I think after that we had a tri-dual on that following Thursday, followed up by the Duffy. So that's usually a team favorite because that's all about getting the Duffy hats.
Yes.
We didn't get quite as many Duffy hats this year as we did last year, but that tournament for a Friday night tournament turned into a lot tougher tournament the last 2 years for sure. So they run a really good tournament. A lot of good individuals, and you've seen a lot of good matches probably right away in the quarterfinals. You don't have a homes in there, but man, you get some tough quarterfinals, semis, placement matches in that tournament on a Friday. So so the kids get done with that one and they finally get a weekend off. And I think we had the next week off of the season for the varsity guys. And then we had that JV qualifier that we had a couple guys do really well at that, make it down to JV state there, or the qualifier state. Trying to think what we had after that. Then we had our conference dual championship at the third weekend of January. So we had Connell Falls, Wrightstown, and Freedom that night. So that was our first look at Wrightstown at, or, yeah, I think it was the first time we saw Wrightstown and Freedom that night. So some pretty tough duels, some pretty good matchups right away there. And that kind of leads to our Coleman duel. And then we had the Pulaski tournament. Pulaski tournament, that's just a grinder and a half right before the postseason. I think, Teague, that was the first time you were there. So you got firsthand knowledge of seeing some of those matches. So
that's a fun environment. You could tell it's a well-run tournament, and there was, I don't think there was one bad finals match. I just got to say, cause I watched Steve commentate the Battle on the Bay finals. And then I think of the invite finals, man, Max Ronsman, he has some fun matches, which I'm sure as a coach it can get a little stressful. Wow, what an entertaining kid to watch.
Yeah, that's been for sure this year. He's right there with all those guys, and he's good. He's matching up with those top guys all the time, whether even in duels or up, staying that same weight. I mean, he's a leader on our team. He takes that upon himself. He wants to do those things, and individually, he's going to go out there and give it everything he's got and then some, and hopefully he comes out on top. So,
also, Chaz, a little lighter moment from the Pulaski invite. I need to know how tall Ezra is, because it produced one of my favorite podium photos of all time. But yeah, it was two guys of completely different builds in the final, Steve. And Ezra, who we'll call him stocky, he's 95% muscle. He's not the tallest guy. Going against the actual tallest guy in the state, Kale Leisgang. And Kale did end up getting the victory, but the height difference between the one and two on the podium, I have the photo saved in my phone, to be honest.
You put it on Instagram, Teague.
I did. Yeah. So I need to know how tall Ezra is, and Ezra, you can take me down next time you see me if you want. But
well, Ezra is about the same height as me, so I would say we're 6'2". That's usually what I tell everybody.
Oh, okay. So. Oh, so it was just the difference between the one and the two. Okay, yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah. Yep, they're not the same height.
I do have to say on that note, Ezra had a great year as well. Part of, you guys had a fun postseason. The invite, a great run as you get into the postseason. But I got to ask you, what were the goals going into February? I know, obviously, team-wise, you're looking to win a team state title. But do you, as coaches or as a team, do you ever put down a number of place winners or state qualifiers or anything like that? Or is it, let's just wrestle our best today and see what happens?
I would say that I think we take our time and we go through all those matchups, and I think we have a pretty good idea of what we can do, and we know on a good day what we really can do. And I think we were really close to really hitting it out of the park altogether, regionals-wise, sectionals-wise, to really maximize what we could possibly do with our team. And those guys wrestled their hearts out, and regionals, sectionals, and obviously some of them came up short making it to that next level each time. But, they wrestled about as best as they possibly could. I can't say much more than that they left it all out there. And they were so close in some of those matches. You look at whether it's the regional matches or the sectional matches, a lot of one-point losses. And I mean, those are heartbreakers, because you know that means they're individually their season ends at that point, for the most part. But I think when we look at that stuff, I mean, we're realistic, right? Mm-hmm. But we're also hopeful, and we hope we end up more on the hopeful side most times. But when we really sit down and look at it, we're not just saying, well, hopefully this person makes it. We're trying to figure out how can we possibly put that person in the right position to meet those goals, because we know that we can work with that kid. We can pick up on tendencies that when we watch video, we can work on certain things that we can maybe get them over the hump. And all it takes is that one move that might get him to that next match in that tournament that might turn into placing the right spot that allows them to move on to the next level. And that just helps keep building them and moving on to the next level. And that keeps things going for the future as well.
At team sectional. So at regionals, you guys won, you had 298 points. I know you're locked into the coaching, but quite a team race at your regional. That ended up being a fun one to watch from an outsider standpoint. And also, when there's a fun team race at regionals, that's just an added bonus to the whole postseason deal. But team sectionals, you guys beat Wittenberg Burnhamwood at 52-16. You guys beat, once again, just like last year, a really good Freedom team, 49-20. Was that around the score? You guys were thinking, maybe not trying to load the question there, but did you guys just wrestle really well that night? Because I did think highly of Freedom's team this year.
I think, yeah, we did wrestle really well that night. Compared to our conference dual match, we had Jake Jandren back in the lineup, so we knew that was going to make a difference. We had Xander Schaintenbeck got hurt in that match. And got pinned in the conference one. So we knew there was points that, you know, we gave up that we could possibly get back. Michael Boswick had a little bit of he had a pretty good match in conference, but we also knew Michael, for the most part, is wrestling underweight at 126 all season. He's probably just a true 120 pounder, but with Carson Newbert at 120, he's up at 126. So in our team sectional duel, we're able to weigh him in at 120, and we're able to flip flop those guys and pick up some bonus points at both weight classes. And I think we just had a lot of momentum going in that match, and we actually got to host team sectionals for the first time ever this year. So I think having the home crowd instead of having to travel to Freedom, I think that helped a little bit too. So.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean,
yeah.
I happen to be in Menominee when they made it to team state, and when you're hosting and you make that that run, the crowd is just, it was hard to put into words. I mean, I know you guys were, the goal was to get to team state, but was it pretty cool to win it in front of your home crowd?
Absolutely. That we know there's a lot of people that want to come watch us, and sometimes it's just hard to travel, right? And our team showed up, our fans showed up and showed out that night, and it was really cool. We had pretty much half the gym was all Luxembourg, plus it spilled over onto the other side of the mat a little bit too. So that was really cool to see, because I don't know if our gym's been that packed for an event yet like that. So it was really cool. And then to top it off, that I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but that was our 1,000th school win. So there's a lot of special things that happened that night on top of us, you know, being able to qualify for team state. That was just really a cool way to break in that gym a little bit more for us.
We did see it. And you know what's funny? When I went to text both of you about setting up this podcast and I saw the photo, it's like, oh, we did not post that. So probably going to get that out tonight, because the folks don't know when we recorded this necessarily. But
right. We did announce it on the podcast, Teague. I remember that.
Okay, we did do that. Yeah. So sorry about that, Chaz. But no, I mean, 1,000 wins. I was trying to math that out. That's a hard number to wrap your head around. Rapids might be the only other team that's close to that, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, and that's the ones that we know for sure. I mean, the other thing is, you know, it takes, our program has a lot of longevity, right? This year, or going into the 24-25 season, this is going to be our 100th wrestling season.
Wow.
So that started back in 1924-25. That was our first year. So those duels, however they counted those, I don't think we have the stats necessarily on those, but I think our stats pick up in the 40s. So that's 1,000 since the 40s. So, and that's all well documented and kept. Jerry Vaness does a lot of the upkeep on that at this point. So, it's pretty cool that we have the history that we have and are able to continue it.
I think one of the things that shows why you guys have the history and tradition you do, Coach, you know off the top of your head how many head coaches have been a part of Luxembourg Casco wrestling history?
Do we want to do a trivia for you guys?
I mean, isn't,
you know
it,
how many?
Isn't it just 4 or 5? And I'm pretty sure I remember being on the Luxembourg Casco site and I was thinking,
well,
wow, these coaches turn over almost every 25 years, so Chaz is going to be in the game for a little
answer, bit. When did Emo start coaching? Just tell me that, and then I'll make a guess.
I don't have my website up.
Was he 70s?
I think it was 70s. I think it was mid to late 70s. I think it was off the top of my head.
I'm going to guess 5, Steve.
What's that? You're going to say 5?
I'm
going to
guess 5.
Well, okay, so 3 through Emo, Bob, Chaz, so that's 3. Gosh, yeah, but do you have records of that?
Emo was 1974.
So, Teague, I'll go with your, well, you're going to say 5. I'll say, yeah, it's got to be 5, because that's a tough one. I mean, I didn't realize you guys started. I mean, I just did the math, though. That's like 11, 12 dual meet wins per year since the 40s. So, but yeah, I'll say 5 as well.
Yep. I'm the 5th one. So,
in 100 years.
Yep. So I was lucky Bob stopped before 25 years, but otherwise the first 3 head coaches were 25 years. So Bob had 15 as head coach, but he coached for, I think he was in for 25 years with assistant coaching. So,
he was his years are grandfathered in technically. Yeah. So are you, I got to ask Chaz, is that the goal 25 years for you?
Coaching overall or head coach?
Okay. I know Bob did 25 overall. Are you going for that LC mark of 25 head coaching?
I think I probably would be lying to you if I said I was going to go for 25 years as head coach. I think that would be a little bit difficult for me. Fair. Maybe I could, but yeah, but I would probably lean towards probably not coaching 25 years as head coach, you know, because we're going to need somebody that can come in and do that. And it takes a lot out of you, I think, sometimes, and it's a grind, but it's such a good feeling to be in such a good wrestling community, and all the people that we have here in our group. That's what's going to make it hard to ever go away from it. So mm-hmm. How long I actually go, I can't really tell you, but 25 years as head coach after being in there for as long as I have, I think that would be a little bit difficult.
What's your total time coaching again?
With a couple of youth years, this was my 20th year. And then as head coach, this is my 9th year.
Oh, so we got you for at least 5 more years that we get to bug you locked in. So that's great. Yes. Chaz, we talked about sectionals a little bit. I got to say, about as close to the perfect sectional performance that you could ask for, and you can touch on that a little bit. But when you look at it right away, 9 qualifiers and then 1 fourth place finisher, which you always view that as a 50-50. And oh, that was in that 175 weight class, which I'm pretty sure was lauded as one of the toughest brackets in the entire state, regardless of division. But yeah, if you just want to take us through sectional Saturday, Steve and I always just refer to it as an emotional roller coaster. So we'll have you take us through that roller coaster for you guys.
Yeah, I guess when it's interesting to look back on that, and I was actually looking at that before coming on here. I'm just thinking right now. So going back to regionals a little bit, I mean, we had some very tough, we had a lot of guys in the finals at regionals,
mm-hmm.
and some of them didn't win some of those close matches that maybe they anticipated, you know, happening. And with some of the focus also being on that, we had team sectionals on Tuesday. So, you know, they know they're going to be wrestling that following Tuesday right away. So they're kind of looking at those matchups as well. We don't have a whole lot of video on some of these teams at regionals. So after regionals, when we come into sectionals, now we have a little bit of time where we can break video down and go find who some of these guys are, where let's be real, our Luxembourg Cascal wrestlers are all over on video. So they have a lot more time and a lot more video to go and pick us apart a little bit. So after regionals, getting some of that video, you know, we took the rest of that week, Wednesday through Friday. Wednesday was a big just video day. We have off on that Wednesday after team sectionals. And then we come back and wrestle Thursday, Friday, and work on those things that we break down from the video. And what went wrong on a regional Saturday went completely right almost on Saturday, all the way from 106 all the way up. Like I said, you look at the guys that didn't qualify for state, they all three of them lost on 1-point matches. Now, two of them lost in the first round by 1 point, but they're right there. It just takes that one match, right? And you never know what's going to happen after that. But all three of them, that last loss was all by 1 point. So it was that close to making that a really, really, really good day. Like you said before, you're hopeful, but sometimes it's just the realism of it is, you know, it's going to be hard for you to get everybody down there, but
mm-hmm.
You get 9 of the guys down there. And then the girls wrestled really well. Evelyn lost in the semifinals to a really good wrestler. And then Kylie went on and we bumped her up to heavyweight. She had been wrestling 185 all season. But didn't need to have her wrestle at the same weight class as Brooke.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, Chaz, you want to explain the rationale behind moving Kylie up?
I think Brooke Huffman says it all. I think she actually just, I think she was just named Wrestler of the Week too by something, USA Wrestling or something. So, I mean, Brooke's pretty darn good. So we moved Kylie up to heavyweight and she's strong enough to compete there and she's definitely fast enough. So we weren't sure how that was going to go long term, but at least for sectionals and we thought that was our best chance of making it down the state and she proved us true. So
Chaz, looking through the sectional results, the two matches that you guys lost in the first round at 15 in heavyweight were to New London guys. And, you know, team-wise, you've had some pretty big historical rivals. But, man, you've been in the corner opposite Nathan Krieger quite a few times for a lot of gut-wrenching matches this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. 120, 215 heavy. Yeah, there was some tough losses and they got some really good kids and kudos to them. They don't back down. And that's just some learning things from us and it's all we can do. I mean, it's not like they wrestled bad. They gave it their all and that, tip your hat to them. That's all you can do.
Oh, hey, yeah, 113 too. We'll credit the win. Carson did beat William Christopher to punch his ticket to state, which I heard about immediately after.
Yeah, that was a back and forth match too. Didn't know how that was going to shake out either as the match kept going. And it definitely was a tight match the whole time. And Carson happened to come out on top for that one. So, yeah, we went 2-2 that day because Newbert won in the finals in that one. I think that might have been overtime. So, yeah, none of those were easy matches by any means. And they're all close and tight. So.
Well, Coach, you end up sending a 9 to state, and I think what's every coach that we've had on, regardless of being a team state champ or team state champ coach or not, when you can get a big group of guys to state and keep that team feel, it just seems like it provides such a huge advantage. But I think another bonus for you guys this year is you had a couple of guys making their first trip to the Kohl Center. And how nice is that for your first year guys to have a handful of teammates that can kind of help show them, you know, either A, how to handle the moment, but just kind of help take them through an individual state routine?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had, I think, 8 guys the last couple of years. And, you know, we have a very veteran team overall, but getting those new guys down there, get them into that routine, like you said, what we do, how we go, when we drive down, when we have practice before we go down, what we do at the hotel, when we go over to the Kohl Center, all those things, just getting that routine down, it means a lot. Put some nerves at ease, I think, as well, because some of them have been at the Kohl Center, they've watched wrestling, but let's be real, once you get out there, it's a little bit different. So just going out on the mat, warming up, even if they didn't have to wrestle that night, I mean, they walk them through that. And we have a lot of good senior leaders on our team, that's for sure. They provide a great example on the mat, off the mat, in the classroom. So it means a lot. And I think that for those younger guys to have a sounding board, like, if they have a question, they don't have to be afraid to ask them what's going on or when should we be doing this, that, or the other thing. But we have those kids that have been through, had all those same things, same questions, not too long ago. So whether it was last year or the year before, so they can always ask that. And just that experience, you can't get that experience any other way. So for them to continue to pass that information down, it's great.
And Coach, however you want to talk about the 9 guys on the guys' side, we'll venture through that together. But we got to start on the girls' side because Kylie, whenever she's wrestling at a tournament that has the word state in it, just seems to be on her A-game because the 235 bracket, when Steve and I broke it down, there was a lot of big names in there in terms of, like, if you're going to make the podium, you have to have the tournament of your life if you're most of these girls. And lo and behold, Kylie goes in and ends up placing fourth. I think even more impressively is she had to do it on the consolation side, where she did win three matches in a row. Is she just someone who wrestles well under the lights?
I think that she only knows one way to wrestle, and that's going to be typically aggressive. Mm-hmm. If you go back through her results, it's kind of a lot of pin or be pinned, but she did a lot of the pinning. And sometimes when she lost, it was just a matter of her being a little bit out of position. So that being the first real tournament aside from sectionals where she's up at 235, I don't think some of those girls knew how to handle a girl like her, somebody that is fairly strong and fast, because mm-hmm. she is very fast. It's just like we've seen it in the guys' state tournament before, right? Where you have a 195. I think a couple of years ago, Wordle from Denmark went up from 195 up to heavyweight and won it. Then the following year, you had a 220 from Wrightstown go up and win it at heavyweight. It's a different style when you have that type of wrestler that's used to wrestling fast and light moving up to strong, maybe not quite as fast type of wrestler. That's a clash of wrestling styles. And I think for Kylie, that kind of put that clash of styles on full display. And she just got on a roll, and she was just happy as could be each time she won. It was like winning the state championship for her every time you won. If you saw pictures of her, video of her, she's just bursting with joy every time she won. And that's her. She's a big personality, and she really enjoyed her time down there. And we're really proud of what she did down there. And, you know, for her to get to that point, she had some struggles last year and a little bit this year. And, you know, and her and Evelyn worked really hard. So it was awesome for those girls to really see a big payoff between those two, and because they do work hard. And we brought both of them down there, and they warmed up together. And it was really a cool thing, I think, overall for those girls. So
Kylie's only two losses were to two girls who have had experience in the state finals. So for her sophomore state experience, I'd say she's on a very promising trajectory. Well, I'd say promising. She already has a podium appearance to her name. So she's doing awesome. It'll be cool if we can, if her teammate also makes it there with her next year. Coach, absolutely. On the guys' side, I think this might have been a prediction Steve made when he did his team race article. Nine guys get to state, and all nine of them place. I want to act like I'm shocked by that, but then when you see the list, you think, okay, yeah, maybe that was the goal coming in, but having the goal and achieving the goal are two separate things. So just take us through how your guys wrestled, and you can break it down into individual guys and whatnot. But yeah, take us through this experience, because going 9-for-9 in terms of qualifiers and placement, that's something not a lot of teams can say.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we've had that many, I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure we have not had 9 place winners, well, 10 with Kylie. The last time we did that might have been 2005 season. We had 11 qualify and 10 place. So, wow. I mean, that it was pretty cool. Like you said, with the regionals and sectionals, what do you think could actually happen? Well, when we start looking at brackets and they start coming out, and now you have the seeding, how they have it, you know, you see pathways, right? I think the kids see pathways. All right. What do we got to do to try and place here? How high can we place? What's going to be what's your goal? Do you want to place? Do you want to place high? Where are you going to be? And I think just having those guys be through this now a number of years, like I said, it's being a veteran group. They get it. You know, they don't panic. I don't think any of those guys have panicked, and I think that goes back to our schedule. Whether it was Spartan Duels, whether it was Battle in the Bay, Kansas City, Bi-State, Duffy, Pulaski. Those are tough matches. Those kids all know they're going to get tough matches, but the payoff is that they're going to be ready for those individual state matches. They're not going to be afraid if they're going into a match down by one or up by one. Can I ride that guy out with a 1 point lead, or I'm down by one, can I get away? Like, or should I go neutral? What do I need to do? And they trust us that we're going to make that right call. And I think with us as coaches being around these guys as long as we have, I think we have a pretty good bond that they trust us, and we know what they're capable of doing. And I think that helps lead us in a lot of those matches. Now, when we're going, the other thing that was kind of weird with that, with the individual tournament is, yeah, we had a lot of guys down there, 9 of them, but I don't think too often would you think you'd have 9. Well, I think we had 8 guys in a row, 106 all the way up to 150. So that was like, that was the other thing that was a little bit tricky, because you always had somebody up. Sometimes you had 2 guys up. So everybody had to be ready to go. Sometimes they're warming up on their own. Sometimes the coaches need to be ready to go down there. You only get so many passes. So it was a lot of coordinating, and those kids did a good job. They're ready to go, and coaches are ready to navigate that path with them. Overall, I mean, some of those guys finally got over the hump. They got their first win. That was like maybe the first goal for some of them, got their first win down that state, because some of them were state qualifiers, didn't get that. So they got that first win. Some of them got to the podium. Some of them placed higher than they did the year before. Some of them, just placing, I think, was goals for some of those guys. So each of them had their individual goals. Obviously, all of them weren't state champs, but you know, I think they, for the most part, met their individual goals overall. How you navigate that with each individual, you had some heartbreakers in there. I know that for sure. That 2 things come to mind for me with the individual state tournament. 1 was some of those close heartbreakers, and 2 was the injuries that we went through at the individual tournament. Mm-hmm. We were a little bit banged up going in, but boy, we came out really banged up. And those guys still managed to place. Jake Janring losing in that wrestleback match. He had a reversal. He gave up with, I think, 1 or 2 seconds left that kicked him back into the 5th place match. Otherwise he would have been in the 3rd place match. So that was a tough one. Let's see. Bohoyak won a close one. He went into the 3rd place match. Newbert had a tough semifinal. He was sick all week. He didn't practice on that Monday. He left practice early because he was sick. He didn't even come to school on Tuesday or Wednesday. He didn't come to school till Thursday. So he was really sick. Plus his elbow was bothering him a lot after that. So him placing 3rd in that weight class was pretty impressive overall, especially as a freshman. Bostwick being brought out on a stretcher. I know they were very cautious with him. And he ended up being just a kind of a stinger in his neck, but
moment. Yeah.
Right. You don't know what's happening right away. I mean, as a coach, you know, we stopped the match. The ref, we didn't see anything. The ref didn't really see anything. And next thing you know, he's getting hauled out. So we're hoping for the best, and that absolutely was the best. But, I mean, you had that same time that was happening on that match with Bostwick. On another mat was Blakely losing a close one, and I think it was overtime. I don't remember. It was the last overtime. That was against Holzer, I think. So that kicked him back into the 5th place match. I mean, these are all things going on back to back to back while we're trying to navigate through the tournament, right? And then on the flip side, you have us pulling out some big matches along the way too. So you had Jarabic winning some big matches, coming back, placing his third year down at state, which was really awesome for him. I was happy. Caleb Delabrew definitely wrestled with a chip on his shoulder, but maybe he was wrestling a little bit more relaxed, knowing that he was not one of those top four seeds. And maybe that took a lot of the pressure off of him, because he wrestled like he had nothing to lose. And sometimes that's the best thing too. So
I just got to say it, Delabrew with a Reese Voracek-esque box score on his way to a state victory, 6-5, 3-1, and 3-2. I'll always say Luxembourg Casco, the masters of the 1 and 2 point victories.
Yeah. That now that you say that, that was very reminiscent of Reese's state championships. A lot of tight matches, but at the same time, it felt like, you know, he was in control, like, maybe a little bit, until he got that last, maybe when Caleb got that last takedown or so, but wasn't like terribly nervous the whole time. Like, I knew he was in it. He had a chance. And I guess that's all I was hoping for him, that he had at least a chance that he could score to get that go ahead score to win that match. And you got Max Ronsman being able to make it back to the finals for the fourth time, which was really impressive. There's not too many guys that are able to do that. And, wrestle the tough kid in Heiser again. Heiser's just got Luxembourg's number, I guess, right now. So it is what it is. But let's see. And then Trace had a tough tournament. He was up big in the first match. He lost to the Mauston kid, and those Mauston kids wrestled ridiculously well the whole tournament. And that was pretty cool for them. Unfortunately, that match happened against us, where Trace just got out of position, caught, and he had a decent lead, got caught and pinned. But then that next match after that, then he ends up hurting his knee, and he ends up injuring, defaulting out the rest of the tournament. So him and Bostwick and Newbert coming out of individual state, we didn't know what was going to happen for team state that following week, but had to stay positive and go from there and see what was going to happen at that point. So.
Yeah, that was an adventure and then some, Chaz. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for detailing that to us. It's I think you look at regional sectionals and state, and yeah, it is just a roller coaster going through it. And at the end of the day, in the big picture, going 9-9 in the place winners, you do end up with the state champ as well. That's awesome for you guys. And with the stuff that didn't go ideally, that's kind of why we do this sport, right? We learned some big lessons from it, and hopefully those kids end up becoming better people because of it. But, Chaz, before we go to team state, Steve-O, you got some trivia for me, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to hit that now? Hey, I just been writing a couple things down. And before I go with trivia, Chaz, I think a word that gets thrown around now, which is actually I really do like it, but I don't think you and I heard it when we were we were in high school, because our coaches were just pretty much grind all the time. But it's the word recovery. You talked about it before. How have you adjusted as a coach with recovery? Right? I mean, like I said, I can think of Bill Verbaten at Wrightstown, and we just pretty much, you know, we were just tough, and we just. It was just a grind, right? And we didn't, he didn't use that word recovery, but now we're seeing the importance of it in sports. How do you guys wrestle a grind of a schedule? How do you guys, what do you guys do to get your guys recovered? Cause obviously, you know, I've said this for years, you know, you see a Luxembourg Casco guy with 10 losses at state, and most teams, you would look at that and say, this kid's, you know, he's not that good. Not for Luxembourg Casco, because you guys go out and seek – I don't want to say you seek losses, but you seek the grind, right? But with that tough of a schedule, what do you guys do as far as, how to help your guys recover from that grueling schedule?
I think like you said about Bill Verbaten those days, right? You're grinding all the time. I think I put myself in the wrestler's shoes sometimes, like, dang, I just came off this huge tournament, and now you think you're gonna have me wrestle my butt off on a Monday and things like that, when, you know, is that really what I want to be doing? And I think sometimes when I put myself in their shoes, we talk with the coaches, what's the best way to do this? Maybe it's just a lift and maybe just, you know, do a little bit of drilling, no live, you know, at least that way it gets some of the soreness out of those guys and then they can come in fresh. Maybe that's a quicker practice that day. Then we can get back to our regular regimen and our routine. And I think that keeps those guys fresh that way, knowing that, all right, if we come off a big tournament like that, we're not going to just get our butts handed to us again all week. We're going to have a little bit of recovery. And, you know, and those guys also, the biggest thing for me with those guys is sometimes, you know, making sure that they have a practice so that they can stay on their weight regimen, that they're not ballooning up too much. Not that too many of them would do that, but it's just staying in a routine also, because, you know, once you get out of routine, that you change your routine too many times, that's going to be your new routine and that's not going to work well either. So, I think biggest thing is we'll give them that break. Team sectionals, that's a little bit different because can't have too many contact days in a row. So that's why we give off that Wednesday, so that, you know, they can go watch and break down their film. Then they come back mentally, they're still in it. That's the biggest thing, is that mentally they don't just blank out and they can still stay sharp that way. But physically they're going to recover yet that day. And then we can move forward with that. And even that Monday after individual state, like those guys coming off individual state was probably a little bit lighter, but we still have the rest of the team because it's team state. So we can still go a little bit harder with those guys and jump in. And typically that second half of season's a little bit shorter, quicker practices too. So they have time to go sit in an ice bath, go stretch more, recover that way. So.
That's good. That's good. I like it. I'm big into picking coaches' brains of how they get their guys to peak at the right time. So, all right, Teague, and you can use your phone a friend, because I'm interested if coach could even get this, right? See how much he looks at the wall. So, multiple time champions, Teague. Now, I don't expect you to get this number, but you'll probably be kind of in the ballpark. There's a two-part question to this one. How many multiple time champions does Luxembourg Casco have? So two times, three times, or four times? And then just don't think too long on this one. That's not my real question. That's just a and then I'll give you my answer, but then I might have to ask coach for some clarification on my answer. So this is a long, I'm setting you up here.
Okay. you know, it's funny. I don't know if you saw the trivia that I sent you, Steve. One of our listeners made a Wisconsin four-timers Sporkle trivia.
Yeah, I didn't do it. But yeah.
And the only one that I missed was Zach Cibula. So nice. That was ready to bring that out onto this show. So I know there's at least one. My guess would be, based off of what I know from the 2000s and on, and that there's a lot of history before that too, I'm going to go with 13.
13. Well, so this is where I got to get clarification.
Here's the thing. It's really hard to win. I feel like it was really hard to win state way back in the day.
Sure. So, coach, I have a number, but I got to get clarification from you, because you have one that's a kind of a tweener. Do you?
Yeah.
So, do you? How does? So he won one with your school, and then won two more at a different school. Do you guys? How do you guys embrace that? I'm trying to tread lightly here with that. Is that a? Do I can count him as a three-time state champ with your? With your organization? To walk me through that, but obviously walk it through with kid gloves and we'll go from there.
We, I think we only counted him as a one-time state champ, because he was only once with us. So
once with the, okay. So then Teague, the answer is 10. The answer is 10. That was with, so we'll exclude him. That is
the one timer, three timer. Is that a name I would know? I'll do Rob Cowan on it.
Yeah, Justin Munloz. He went to Random Lake, Luxembourg Cascade, and then he went to Random Lake.
That's right. Okay.
So with that being said, then Teague, we'll drop that off. There's 10 then. Okay. So I want to see if you can name half of them. That's the trivia question. Can you name half of the multi-timers? And I know you already are going to nail two of them for sure.
I'm starting off with the questionable one.
Okay.
Reese Voracek. Because he had all the close matches, and then he dominated more his senior year. Bryce Bosman, of course.
Yep. You got this then.
Newton Smirchek.
Yep.
Zach Sabula.
That's four.
And, oh, man. I'm trying to think of the 2013 team, but I don't know if that's the direction I should be going.
Well, it was funny because Coach said one of these guys before.
He said, was it Matt Pell?
Yeah, there you go. But then I thought you were going to nail the – so that's five. I'll give it to you, Teague. You got
Wait,
it.
Hang on. Who's the one you thought I was going to nail? Is it another recent one?
Well, no, but he was one of the only five coaches to go to wrestle for Luxembourg Cascade.
Oh no. Was Chaz one of them?
No. I wish. Thanks for twisting that one on me.
Oh, I've been on my A game tonight.
That's right.
Was it Purcell?
Bob was a three-timer, and he ended up, I think he was, a two-time national champ at, was it Stevens Point too?
He was national champ at Point and a runner-up, I believe, at Northern Michigan. He went to Point after Northern Michigan dropped their program. So, and then he was the Point's first national champ, I think until Perry Miller. So,
Gotcha. So, yeah, so Teague, you got it. You nailed five of them, and then the remaining ones are we'll just go just for time's sake. But you got Eric Metzger. He was a two-timer. Nick Lloyd. And then you're going to have to help me out. I'm going to do a game sometime. It's going to be, can Chaz name all the Luxembourg Cascade last names? But it's Luke. Is it Destash?
Destish? Oh, Destish. One, two. Yeah.
Destish. Yep. And then Barable. Brian Barable. Is that how you say his last name?
Barbeau. Yep, Barbeau.
Yep. Barbeau. So those are the remainder. Hopefully I didn't miss them. I kind of went through quickly. You guys knew I was doing this.
So if you know like the 2005 and 2013 rosters, you're nailing most of those then. Yeah. Right?
Early 2000s. Did you say Nick Lloyd? That was the only other one I didn't hear.
Nick Lloyd I got.
Yep. And that was all 10.
I'll tell you what, Steve, I love doing deep dives into that LC 2005 team. And I was trying to think of, because everyone talked about the Dodgeville Quartet. Luxembourg won it from, they won it at 12, 19, 30, and 35, I think. So there was four in a row for them, but it was just a one weight class gap.
We almost had a fifth one that year because John Trummel at 189, he lost in overtime. So nearly missed out on five state champs that year.
Wow. We need to do an episode just on that, I think, that team. Coach, last tournament we got here, of course, Team State. And just I'll talk about the results, but just the results that you had there. You beat Keewascum 51-13, and then you beat St. Croix Falls 36-19, was 36-24. Yeah, there's that, the unsportsmanlike at the end of 157. But what was I going to say? Yeah, you want to talk about the Kawaska matchup first, and if you guys made any big moves. Well, I know you made some lineup moves for sure, but take us through the rationale. But yeah, walk us through Team State, and I'm sure we'll have questions for you as you go through.
Team State preparations, that kind of started, right after team sectionals already. The biggest, probably the most beneficial thing with this team has been the flexibility that I was able to have between weight classes. We had guys wrestling up in certain weight classes, like Bostwick for the most part. Jurabic naturally was actually wrestling up. So guys like that being able to qualify for the lighter weight and be able to, I mean, naturally they were light for their weight class, so they easy to a certain extent could make that lighter weight class. So we had kind of talked about that with those guys heading into those individual tournaments, and I just kind of mentioned it to them, if this is possible, like, let's, don't drink a glass of water before you step on the scale, because then you still would be able to qualify for that lower weight class come team state time. But if you need that, I don't want you cutting weight to make that lighter weight, and that's going to, change how you do individually. I don't want that to happen, or I don't want your individual honors be affected by trying to go down a weight class. And those guys are more than willing to do that, and that just gave us so much more flexibility as we looked at team state. And then we were going to flip some guys with, like, Bostwick and Newbert, but with Newbert's elbow kind of being banged up, we thought the best thing is just kind of leave him where he was. And Bostwick wrestled his some really tough matches, especially coming off of his injury and being trying to rest up and rehab from individual state. So, he had a tough grind of a day, but paid off big time overall for the team regardless. And these guys are all about doing the best thing for the team. Mm-hmm. Jurabic was the same thing. Naturally probably was a 138 pounder, but Caleb coming down from 44 to 38 for individual tournament. And we thought that flipping those guys around and being able to bump them, having guys being able to bump into the lineup here and there, that just gave us a lot more flexibility in the matchups that we wanted to hit and maximize our points as we went through those matchups. So we had a lot of things in play coming into the tournament, and we just didn't have all the information until we flipped that coin and get the weigh-in sheets. And once we got that, we could kind of talk with the guys what we want to do, and we had ideas, and go from there. So it was nerve-wracking like usual, but once those guys get on a roll, kind of put me at ease, and hopefully themselves, and they wrestled their butts off as the duels went on. So it's fun to see.
Well, and Coach, I knew there was lineup moves to be made, but we always do our team state preview when we try to look at how close duels could be or whatnot. And I'll be honest, I rode the train of crowning you guys champions in the off season, which just comes with being part of the media sometimes. But then I looked at potential duels against St. Croix Falls, and even Prairie du Chien thought, oh, Prairie du Chien actually matches up pretty well against this Luxembourg Casco team. And then St. Croix Falls, even I didn't see it as much on paper, but then they wrestled really well in the actual finals. Did you still give that message to you guys? Like, hey guys, this is not gift wrap for us. Like, it may seem to everyone else, like, we have to go out and wrestle our best.
Yeah, I don't think these guys were overconfident by any means. Which I think back to past teams, maybe that could have been something like that, but this group of kids are just so well-grounded. And that's not just from us as coaches. I know that. And if anybody thinks that, they're fooling themselves. Well, that comes from their parents and the coaches that they've had in the youth in the middle school. And, that's where they're getting that from. And they know that they have very good heads on their shoulders, and that just makes those decisions that much easier for myself and the coaching staff when we do things like bumping up or switching weight classes. The parents trust us that we're doing the best thing for their kid to put them in a position to be successful, and along with making the team successful. So, Kind of lost for words right now. Sorry.
Oh, you you nailed it. We're getting into the thick of it right now, Chaz. Well, we need to talk about the finals a little bit for sure, because I was commentating Fenimore Coleman, but having seen St. Croix Falls a few times this year and just following you guys, I definitely had a vested, and being a D2 guy in general, right? I had a vested interest in seeing how that duel was going to go. So I had my little box score projection up and I was changing it as results went along. And I don't know if we were thinking the same thing, but after 113, when that result went, because I did have Carson winning that one, I looked at my new projection as a, oh, St. Croix Falls, maybe there's a path to victory for them. And that was, I guess, take us through your feelings through this entire duel, because this one seemed like it was, the end score doesn't really show it, right? But it seemed like it was a back and forth affair through most of it. And Steve, you did the commentary for it.
I did.
Yeah, I would say this was a very competitive duel all the way through. And I think that's just a tip of the hat to Coach Rager. I mean, I remember Rager wrestling in high school and he was tough as nails. I remember watching him and I can see his imprint on that team altogether. Like they wrestle, they're strong, they're tough, they stay in position, they're hand fighting. And it took a lot for our guys, as veteran as our group is, to move those guys out of position to try and get scores on them. So they're very disciplined in what their game plan was. So, 113 comes up. Actually, I'll go back to heavyweight, because heavyweight is where we started the duel. And yep. Salentine not getting pinned, I mean, I think that was a huge win for us. Mm-hmm. He only gave up a decision, and their guy took third at state. So, but we don't really see them at all, so we don't know what to anticipate either. So that's where kind of the, like, we know that their bottom weights are probably going to be fairly tough, but, you know, our guys are pretty tough too. So when we get to 113 and I probably made a goof on my own. Probably shouldn't have had Carson go down in the second period. Probably should have went neutral, if anything, after we almost got a takedown. Because then that kid got on top, and I think he ended up turning us in the third period. He chose top third period because he rode us the whole second period, and he turned us. So just not having a good idea of what some of these guys do, and that kind of hurt for some of our matchups. But yeah, we had some very tough, very close matches throughout that duel. Carson Newbert put us back on the board, couldn't quite get the pin a couple times. So there's a couple times I thought he was pinned. I'm not sure how he wasn't, but ends up in a tech fall. Then we get a close match with Bostwick, losing another close match. So we're, you know, it's getting tighter and tighter, right? And then we start. Blakely comes out, gets a tech fall. He was all about offense that match, and that was fun to see that he was going to go after him. He knew what we needed and wasn't going to waste time and cut him and take him down as many times as he could and not try and turn him right away, just to make sure we got our major and then work on the tech fall. So. Then 38, we had Dravik going down and wrestling a tough match. Ground that one out to, I think that was a 2-0 match. Yep. I mean, the kids are strong. They're in position. They're not. They have their game plan. They're going to keep those matches close too and give themselves a chance to win. So you just got to keep grinding and keep pulling out those matches. Junkart got teched by Kelly, but we moved. Caleb and Max up. Caleb came out there up at 150 after wrestling 138 for about a month and a half to come up to 150. And what I was really just hoping, you know, lock in a win, which I knew he was very capable of, but he went above and beyond and ends up getting a pin, and that I think just energized the team again. And that was a big pin. I mean, that was that was huge for the team, momentum, everything.
Keep Max in mind, folks, a very similar move to that of the Luxembourg team that we saw last year when you bumped up a couple of guys, and that's when we got the Tank Koenig match, and two guys bumped up, they got the job done. And talk about getting the job done, Coach. I know you're about to go into it, so sorry to steal your thunder, but Max Ronsman, when he bumps up, I mean, he knows how to win for his team, and he did it big here against Marco with a move that, Steve, if you were able to commentate that properly, I had no idea what I saw. It just looked like magic from my end.
It looked like he was dead to rights. So Marco had that leg up in the air, and was that a move, Coach, or what the heck was that?
I don't know. I knew this question was going to come up. All I can tell you, and I told Max this after, when Marco got that single, and then not only did he get the single, it was on the edge of the mat, and I thought they were going to go off the mat, because we've seen Max do that a number of times where he gets the leg whizzer and pulls him off if he has to. But Marco, being that much bigger than Max, pulls him back onto the mat, and I'm just – I was in the middle of a bunch of Hail Marys. I literally was praying. I just didn't want him to end that match for himself on a loss. And then all of a sudden that happens. I still didn't know what it was until I saw the video after. And I was just like, I don't know what to say. I mean, I've seen Max do things like that at Team State 2 years ago, his sophomore year. He did something, not that move in particular, but something off of a whizzer with Hart, and he put him on his back. And I mean, apparently somewhere he's fairly comfortable with. And any time to pull that out, I guess that was the best time to pull it out, because got him the win, locked up that match. So,
and that was one of those moments in the duel where, well, I thought for a moment after that one, the duel was well in hand. But I have to ask you, Coach, jumping ahead to 190 pounds, Mason hits what the Raggers like to call an Utt bomb. Mason Utgard takes Trace to his back. And was there a fleeting moment for you where you thought, man, this duel's going to come down to the last match? Because I thought Trace looked like he was in a pretty bad spot, and props to him for fighting out. And he just didn't need to get pinned, right? But talk about the drama for this duel coming down to the penultimate moment in this duel. It was crazy for a 36-19 match.
Well, in Trace's match, I think after we saw what was going on in the very beginning of the match, I think Trace was able to take him down. I think he had a little bit of a lead, but you could obviously tell that he was going after a big throw. And I remember them breaking. I think I don't know if they went out of bounds or it was end of the period or something, whatever it was. I'm sure it's on video somewhere, but I remember screaming out to him, don't tie up with him or stay on the legs. All he's going to do is try and throw you. He's got to get a pin. And Trace is pretty knowledgeable in positions. And I don't know if I've ever really seen Trace get thrown. So for that kid to actually, in that situation, be able to grab him and throw him and put him on his back, was a little bit of a, not a little bit, it was a big surprise. I didn't think, like, he didn't have quite the right grip. I thought that he'd be able to pin him, and Trace is able to get out of there. But, it was a little bit uneasiness, I guess you could say, at that
especially
point.
With the context that Joe Petherbridge was waiting in the wings at the end. And we all saw what he did in the semis.
Well, I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew they had bumped them up, and that was who ended the match before. Like, I just knew from the results, right? But it wasn't until I went back and watched the duel and listened to you guys talk about it a little bit where I'm like, oh my gosh, that would have been horrible for us. Great for them, but
they would have had to make two statues of Joe Petherbridge, right, T?
Oh my god.
So yeah, that was pretty interesting. But I mean, say that something like that would have happened with Trace. I mean, Ezra was right there on the end yet too. That Ezra's pretty darn tough wrestler, and he's proven that time and time again that if he just needed to not get pinned, I know for sure he probably would have been able to get that job done. So,
and Coach, I just think it goes to show, looking through your guys' lineup and just with the flowers that we've given this team, you guys have earned it and then some. Like there's not really many spots in this team where there, I wouldn't even say there's really holes, right? It's just, it was a very well-rounded team. And whether it be St. Croix Falls or Prairie du Chien or whoever, they would have had to wrestle their absolutely best duel to win it. And you guys ended up once again, you know, a dramatic duel, just like last year, but you end up getting the job done and you win by 17. You take care of business against what I consider to be a very good team. And it just, it wraps up a perfect season. So take us through, after the duel ends, how the entire team is feeling.
They're feeling pretty good. I mean, you know, when you talk about what we wanted to do as a team and then to meet that goal, I mean, a little bit's a relief, but I mean, it's sheer joy, I think. I mean, everybody's ecstatic. Everybody's happy. And, you know, breaking through for that one last year and then follow it up with this season. I mean, this season was a little bit different journey, and that's always going to be that way. Seasons are different all the time. Even if you have the same kids, it's a different journey. And I think all these kids, all these parents, coaches, we're going to remember this journey that we took, all the different places we went, all the different trials and tribulations we had to go through. And that just makes winning Team State that much better. And to do it back to back, we're very lucky and fortunate to be able to do that. And I mean, we've been on the other end of that too, where we lost 3 years ago in Team State finals and came up short. And that just propelled us to work that much harder and to focus on what we got done these last 2 years. And these were goals we've had since this group was freshmen, knowing what they possibly could be capable of. And it's just really cool that this group was able to meet these goals that, I mean, these are lofty, lofty goals that they set for themselves and were able to take care of. It's really cool.
Well, you brought up that Amory duel a couple of years ago, but then you think of freshman year as well and how that postseason ended. And with this senior class, it really was a group. When you look back on the whole picture, it was a group that was forged by fire. And with the and with the talent that you had to have that leadership with it and that experience, it just seemed to be a perfect combo to create the team that you guys did this year. And Coach, I just have to bring up on that note the last question that I have for you. And I won't ask you straight up because there's a lot of competition. We could do a whole deep dive on it. But has this team earned the right to enter the best Luxembourg Casco team of all time conversation?
Well, being part of Luxembourg Casco history and being part of some of these teams and things like that.
Yeah, I guess this was, again, another loaded question for you.
I mean, I would say, yeah, you got to have them in the conversation, right? It's hard when you compare eras, decades, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's got to be one of the better ones for sure. I don't know if maybe it's humble, but I would say it's that 2005 team's pretty darn tough when you look at the accomplishments that those guys had. Even comparing this year's team to that.
Oh, yeah. And then
this year's team's pretty good, but that 2005 team is all kinds of special up and down the lineup, especially when you see what some of the younger guys did even after that year, still making individual state finals and things like that, and multiple time state champs. The only comparable would be that we've won Team State and we had 9-10 state place winners this year. I mean, that they're still pretty darn good in their own right, and they deserve to have that recognition. And It's pretty cool.
I hope for the technology someday to watch a simulated duel between those two teams. That's that might be asking too much, but that was I only asked that because I think that was something Steve and I were pondering at the start of the year. And I just got to say, Coach, I mean, that was something we thought before there was any wrestling, and there's always a chance where that doesn't go through, but for them to do what they did and to have the goals you did and then achieve all of that and then some, it's awesome. It says a lot about your program and culture, and it says a lot about you too. So props to you, Coach, and congratulations on the second state title in a row.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Steve-O, you got anything?
No, I was just it's great to have you out, Chaz. I like just to sit back and listen. I just thought it was scary last year when you said after you won your state championship, you're like, man, next year's team might even be better. And I was like, holy cow. That was turned my head a little bit, Teague. And yeah, it's awesome. Now it starts, right? Now do we have you on three times in a row? Here we go.
We're not going to have a repeat next year. I'll tell you that much, Steve.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation, Chad. But, hey, I know you're always up for the challenge. I know you guys will be rocking D1 next year. It'll be I'm praying there's some sort of split between teams in some way, shape, or form. But we'll find that out for our sectional assignment episode in May.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
It's funny you say that, Teague, because you said, well, did the team have any motivation? Did they lose motivation, or how did you get them motivated from winning their first one, the second one? Well, I can definitely tell you it's easy to rally the troops now to get them motivated to go after that third one. I can, as my coaching brain, thinking of all the different things I would say as far as moving up a division and looking to go turn some heads. But I'll let Coach, I'm sure you already got that taken care of, so.
Yep, I've been jotting down notes, knowing what's coming, and I do think our groups, they know what's coming. They've mentally been preparing for it, and we're going to meet that challenge. What that all means overall, we're going to figure it out along the way, and it's not like we haven't wrestled D1 programs before. So this is just the next chapter in Luxembourg-Casco history, and we're going to see how we're going to build that in a new division and see what happens.
Good stuff. Well, Chaz, thank you for coming on. We appreciate picking your brain and just hearing the story about the teams that end up at the top of the team race at the end of the year. We always appreciate it, and like Steve said, we'll be looking forward to having you on again. When that is, I guess we'll find out, but we enjoyed the time tonight, and it was a fun one.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. We appreciate it, and I know our wrestling community loves you guys being on here and getting the wrestling news out, and we all look forward to the podcasts as they come out. Plenty of entertainment for us, so thank you guys.
Hey, thank you. Well, we appreciate it, Chaz. Well, folks, that's it for this edition. New season opener started off with a bang with Mr. Tremel. Who we'll have on next, we don't know yet because our planning is really poor in the springtime. So we'll figure things out. But until next time, we will catch you on the flip side.